Early on a Saturday morning is no time to start hearing heavy machinery going on in the neighborhood. But what if you hear that same sound in Australia's open heath habitats and woodlands? Did someone put gravel in their didgeridoo? No, that's the song of the sand grinder cicada. And to other cicadas, it's the sweet music of life, death, and taxonomy. Welcome back to Life, Death, and Taxonomy. It's your 30 minutes of interesting animal information. I'm Joe.
And I'm Carlos.
Thank you to Cassie for the creation of our theme song. To hear more of Cassie's music, please search Cassie Michelle on YouTube or Spotify.
And a very special thank you to our patrons. Thank you so much for your support. It's greatly appreciated. Thanks for helping us keep the lights on. If you'd like to donate, just visit patreon.com/LDTaxonomy or click on donate on our website at LDTaxonomy.com.
And today we're talking about a bug that sounds like a power tool, but more on that later.
Tim the Tool Man Taylor.
Mm-hmm. No, he doesn't sound like the Tool Man.
He sounds like the tools that the Tool Man uses.
Exactly right.
I was in Home Depot, and I saw something that was sponsored by the guy who plays Al.
Mm-hmm.
And I was like, is he actually a Tool Man? Is that...
He is actually a Tool Man, yeah.
Or is he... Or did you just play one on TV?
Bob Vila was like Tim Allen's, on that show, he was like a rival tool man. And he's a real tool man in real life.
On the show? Yeah. Well, on the show, he was the rival. But Al was his assistant or whatever. And he's also an actual tool man. The only person who didn't know his tools was Tim Allen. Yeah. It was Tim the Tool Man Taylor.
Yeah, exactly.
I feel so lied to.
And in real life, Tim Allen is something of a tool man himself.
Oh, so, is he really? Oh, yeah. I see what you're saying. Was that an indictment on his character, or does he actually play? Is he actually good with tools?
In the show, so like his character.
No, his character as a person, Tim Allen.
Well, in the show, like I don't think he's bad at tools.
Like, no, in the show,
he's not as good at tools as like everyone else, and it's funny because he's arrogant about it.
Oh, I see. I was like, I don't know anything about Tim Allen. As a person,
in real life, I think he also every show he is in, he's obsessed with restoring cars. So like every character he plays in a TV show likes cars.
That's one of the first things that Buzz Lightyear does is he's on a skateboard rolled underneath yeah, his space.
Exactly.
His locks to fix it. Yeah. I was gonna say not as Buzz Lightyear, but nope, he fixes a vehicle. Yeah. It's one of his debut moments. Anyway, we're not talking about Tim the Toolman Taylor. We're talking about the sand grinder cicada.
That's right.
Sand grinder is definitely gonna be by Mad Max name.
It's a suggestion from Rowan, patron Rowan. Thank you, Rowan.
Thanks, Rowan.
He's giving us a lot of good Australian animal suggestions. He said he's seen this one in real life.
It's a cicada. Like, they are everywhere, right?
Sometimes they're underground.
Well, yeah, but when they decide to not be underground anymore, they are everywhere, right?
I think our first we've done a cicada before, and we talked about that, like, life cycle situation.
Yeah, the fact they spend like 17 years underground and then come out for like a month and eat everything, mate, and then die.
Yeah. Well, they're like larvae. They're in another, like, they're not in cicada stage.
No. Yeah. They haven't pupated yet.
Right.
But anyway, so the sand grinder cicada is also known as the sand dune cicada. But we're going to call it here the cicadence. Oh, I almost said that right. And Timpani Chalamet.
Good.
because it's a dune. They like dunes. Mm-hmm. So does he. But would you like a taxonomy?
Sure.
Would you like a bunch of really long...
I'll take one.
...words in another language? Mm-hmm. Okay, it's in a kingdom you know, love, and are in. That kingdom is Animalia. The phylum is Arthropoda. The subphylum is Hexapoda. Six-legged arthropod. And then the class is Insecta. All insects have six legs. The order is Hemiptera. The family is Cicadidae. Cicadidae. Which are cicadas. The tribe is I didn't practice this one. Cicadatini. Oh, that's Italian. Cicadatini.
Sounds delicious.
Like a little, if you found a little cicada, that has to be what you call it in Italian. Oh, c'è un cicadatini. The genus is Arenosaltria, and the species is Fullo Frodo. If you ever read The Lord of the Rings, all the hobbits address each other with hollow, like H-U-L-L-O. And when I was doing the research for this, that was all I was thinking about. Oh, full of Frodo. Yes, yeah, so since we're in the business of naming things, and business is good, it's time for my favorite part and the listener's favorite part of the show, Nitty Gritty Nomenclature. Which is part of the show where I ask you, Joe, a question, and that is, what is the English translation for the binomial nomenclature, which in this case is Arenosaltria Fullo? Does that mean A, sand musician trampler, B, desert trumpet beetle, C, three-song arena screamer, or D, golden song hopper?
Give me the first one, first two again.
Sand musician trampler is A, and B is desert trumpet beetle.
The one of them was one of them song.
Three song arena screamer is C, and then B is golden song hopper.
I'm going with the song arena screamer or whatever.
Final the three answer. Song arena screamer. Final answer.
Yeah.
That is incorrect. It is sand musician trampler. Saltria is a musician.
Okay.
But it does have to do with a song. And then areno is sand in Latin. In Spanish, sand is just arena. Arena.
Okay.
And then fullo it's actually a title. It was a job you had in Roman times as a laundry person. But the primary thing you did with laundry was like to beat it. You'd beat the laundry. So it was the word for trampling things, or that was the what I got for the etymology. So I could have said sand musician laundryman. But I decided to go with a little bit closer to what like the word meant.
I understand why you beat a rug, but why would you beat laundry?
Ask the Romans.
Thank the Phoenicians.
Remember how easy it was to beat your laundry? Thank the Romans.
okay.
All right. Yeah. Sand musician trampler or laundryman, or laundry person. If you wanna go with that. Would you like to know about what this looks like?
Sure.
It is very cicada-like. It's kind of like housefly, kind of grasshopper-ish, kind of Sid the Sloth in the face. It as far as cicadas go, it is medium-sized. It has a pretty chunky body, and it has a very broad head with its eyes on either like extreme ends of its head, which give it kind of, again, the Sid the Sloth hammerhead shark kind of look. Other than that, it's kind of got the B-shaped body. It's usually a mottled brown, tan, gray, black. You know, helps it blend in with brush and sand. It is covered in a hard exoskeleton, like arthropods are wont to be. And it has transparent wings that are long and have delicate lace-like veins that fold, that go over the extent of the wings, and the wings fold neatly over the back. It has short, bristly hairs that cover parts of its body, giving it kind of a dusty appearance. And it has strong legs for digging in the sand. I'll leave it there, the description, but again, it is kind of fits squarely in the middle in terms of cicada size. So how big is it?
Great question. Welcome to the Beloved Measure Up segment, the official listeners part of the show. The part of the show that's when we present the animal size and dimensions in relatable terms through a quiz that's fun for the entire family. It's also part of the show that's introduced by you when you send in audio of yourself saying, singing, or chittering, or buzzing the words, or drumming the words measure up into ldtaxonomy@gmail.com. We do have a new measure up intro this week.
Nice. It's been ages. What year is it?
This is from Daniel. And this is one of Johanna's old camp friends that he listens to the podcast. He learned about, and he's been listening. Thank you, Daniel.
Nice. Let's hear it.
Without further ado, the listener's part of the show. That is not Daniel.
Yeah, I was like, that is a very good impression.
But the subject line is measure up already, so that's what was being said there.
Measure up already.
That sounds to me like a progeny of Daniel.
Sounds, yes. I would agree with that. It was a little muffled through the mic, but I did hear a high-pitched voice.
Measure up already.
Measure up, why don't you?
Yeah.
I like the attitude.
Well,
let's get this over with.
It's apropos because it's been a while. Let's get a new measure up already.
I say that to myself every time.
Yeah.
And now it's happened, and someone said it for me. Thank you, Daniel.
Thank you, Daniel.
The Daniel family, yes.
The Daniel family, indeed.
We're gonna have a lot of egg on our face if that actually was Daniel.
With some helium or something.
Yeah. Or just has that voice. It's like,
no, I know what his voice sounds like.
Oh, okay, never mind. I don't know if it's like that one pirate, the Pirates 3, where it's like, and so we shall go to war. Sisumbaji, that's his name. Nah. He doesn't talk the whole time, but he does this really high pitched voice.
Not the case, unless something different happened to him since the last.
Unless
time
something is something has happened to Daniel.
Let's talk about their body length. Adult sand grinders are about 33 millimeters or 1.3 inches long. The Australian 20-cent coin features a platypus. The coin is one of the largest circulating coins in Australia and is famous for accidentally being mistaken for foreign currency in vending machines. Somebody from Australia is going to have to tell me what that means. How is a vending machine mistaking a 20-cent coin for a foreign coin?
Maybe it's the same weight.
Does that mean it just like is having trouble accepting it?
Or, maybe it has a hard time I don't know. Yeah, you'll have to explain it.
And if it is accepting it as a foreign coin, I hope it's a coin worth more.
You know, it's like, yeah, thanks for this euro.
It's got to be an Asian coin that it thinks
a whole
it is.
Euro. I don't know. Maybe their money is close. It looks. I mean, at least their paper money looks like the euro. So,
but like, I mean, it's colorful. If they're gonna have foreign coins in their vending machines, that they have to build in like some sort of protection against it. It's gonna be an Asian coin, because they're in Asia. Essentially,
they are not in Asia.
Pretty much,
they're in Oceania.
All their local television is Asian.
They're in the same time zone as a lot of Asian countries.
If they're catching waves, radio waves that are out from outside of Australia, it's going to be an Asian.
I'm more alarmed, surprised that there are vending machines and coins are still two things that go together commonly in there.
Well, anyway, true or false, 1.2 sand grinder cicadas go into the diameter of an Australian 20-cent coin.
How many?
1.2. So just over a 1-to-1. I don't know if this is correct, but not 1.2, if the coin is a little smaller... It would be 1.2 coins go into the cicada. That's what I mean.
Okay, we're doing coins into the cicada.
Yeah, yeah.
Not cicadas into the coins.
Correct.
I'll go with true, because I think that the coin is a little smaller than the cicada. That sounds like it would make more sense.
True? Final answer?
Like to have a regular coin in circulation the size of a poker chip just seems unwieldy. So go for it. Yep, true.
Yeah, the correct answer is true. The coin is 28.6 millimeters across versus the 33 millimeter sand grinder. So the sand grinder is
1.2. A 33 millimeter sand grinder is definitely what they used during World War II. That's definitely how you take down Stukas.
Let's talk about their wingspan. A sand grinder's wingspan is about 90 millimeters, larger than the body length, 3.5 inches. The legendary Australian snack known as a Tim Tam was created in 1964. Australians have developed the Tim Tam Slam, in which the cookie is used as a straw, where the innards kind of disintegrate a little bit, like an Oreo cookie.
Mm-hmm.
And then the chocolate surrounding holds it all together, and then you eat it, and it's soft.
I love Tim Tams.
Yeah. Have you ever done a Tim Tam Slam?
I've not done a Tim Tam Slam
before.
You
got to do a Tim Tam Slam and some milk.
I have slammed an entire box of Tim Tams, though. so I guess that counts.
True or false, three sand grinder cicadas wingspans laid end to end are a little bit longer than a standard Tim Tam. So another one that's like 1.2.
Three cicada wingspans. Yeah. So 3.5 inches. Times three. This foot long cookie. I'm gonna say no.
False. The correct answer is false. A Tim Tam is roughly 60 millimeters long. So yeah, that would be like a 2/3.
Oh, I thought you said three cicada wingspans go into the length of a Tim Tam. I'm like, that's a Tim Tam. That's a straw cookie.
Three cicada wingspans go into the end to end longer, slightly longer than a Tim Tam. So yes, the false is correct.
That'd be huge. You'd have to like pull those Tim Tams out of a quiver. Which I'm not opposed to.
I didn't know you had a Tim Tam, so that is a perfect there's your advantage there.
Well, I've never been to Australia, but I've been given Tim Tams by Australians.
I think they're in Canada too, maybe. I'm thinking of Tim Hortons.
Close. I've had Tim Hortons too, and that's delicious. Delicious donut holes. Forgot what they call them. But man, they're good. So much better than Dunkin'. Anywho,
do you have
starving,
any...
man. Me I too. Want I want some sweets.
Yeah. Let's slam some Tams. Do you have any fast facts?
I sure do. As we have alluded to, the sand grinder, why am I saying grinder? The sand grinder cicada is found in Australia, but specifically Southern Australia and Western Australia, where there's a lot more sand. There's a lot of desert or in those areas, but it does like the coastal dune systems in South and Western Australia. They prefer loose sandy soils, dunes, scrublands, whereas a nymph, it can be underground and easily burrow among the plant roots. It eats these plants and sips the fluids out of these plants using a straw-like proboscis, the mouth part. And they, like other cicadas, they spend years underground as nymphs before they mature into adults and come out of the ground and fly and eat and mate and die. So it's a bug's life. They didn't put that in the Pixar movie. They are generally solitary, but they can come together in large numbers when they emerge. And that turns a quiet dune into absolute anarchy because cicadas are loud. We've got cicadas here.
Mm-hmm.
And that is the sound of humidity. We just need Simon and Garfunkel to come up with a sequel, The Sound of Humidity. And it's just 3.5 minutes of cicada noises. Their coloration allows them to blend remarkably well into sand and dry vegetation, so it helps them to stay off the menu. Although they do have to keep an eye out for birds, reptiles, spiders, small mammals. It is Australia. There are predators. Keep an eye out.
In America, they say that you can eat a cicada. They're edible. I don't know. Like, there's lots of species of cicada. I wouldn't just go popping bugs in your mouth. But
yeah, I mean, they're probably not like
munching them.
They're probably not like poisonous or anything. But I imagine
I
some
just,
taste better than others
in Australia. Don't eat anything. You don't know what it is.
eat Tim Tams, really. That's all you need.
Yeah, there you go.
It's just a diet of exclusively cookies. After molting, the cicada will leave its empty exoskeleton on clinging to plants and sticks, which I think we've mentioned during the last cicada episode we did, but that was like one of my favorite pastimes in Indiana when we go up there for the summer. Because the cicadas would come out and the trees would just be covered in these what looks like bugs, but they were just empty shells, and you could stick them on your shirt, so you just have you'd look like your shirt was covered in bugs. And we have them here, and my daughter just had an absolute fit thinking that I had a bug on my shirt. It's like, no, it's just a shell. And then they started collecting them. They and here's a interesting fact. The underground tunneling that the nymphs do helps aerate the sandy soils. So they are accidental landscapers. They don't send you an invoice. So
that's great.
No. Yeah. And I'll leave it at that. You have any major facts?
Yeah, I'm calling this major fact grinding my gears. Many cicadas produce a rhythmic song. Song is a strong word, but it has distinct phases. But the sand grinder song is often described as continuous, harsh, and grinding. That's probably why they got the name. It's a continuous buzz.
Continuous, harsh, and grinding.
And if you don't know what it is, it sort of sounds mechanical. So I'm going to send you a link to here. This is the sound of a cicada in Australia. I cannot, for the life of me, confirm that this is this species, but it is an Australian cicada. So here's what it sounds like. It sounds like, people say it sounds like an angle grinder, or like, it sounds like maybe like something being scraped on wet cement. It does sound like a metallic or a concrete grinding sound.
That is unpleasant.
It is unpleasant.
Song is a strong word, I would say.
The ones that the one cicadas that I've heard here are also pretty continuous. Maybe there's some like starting and stopping, but to me it sounds like a buzz, like a continuous like rattler or something like that. Here, but this is definitely more of an angle grinder tool sound. So how does it make the sound? Like other cicadas, males use a pair of structures called timbals, like cymbals, but tim tam style. Timbals located on the sides of their abdomen. Each timbal is ribbed. It's a ribbed membrane that acts a bit like a lid. Of like a metal can. There's a specialized muscle that contracts. The timbal buckles inward with a click and snaps back into shape when the muscle relaxes. This happens hundreds of times per second. The clicks merge into that continuous buzzing sound.
So it's kind of like, you know, those like spinning things, spinning noise makers that people bring mm-hmm. to sports. That's what mm-hmm. I think about when I'm, and it's just like, it's a bunch of clicks.
Yeah.
Kind of put together. Like, yeah, they, just really, really fast.
Or like putting a playing card in the spokes of your bicycle.
Yeah. Except to make it sound like a motor. Playing card was made out of metal.
But the description of what it looks like sounds like a Snapple lid. You know how like you can press it in and it'll make that yeah. clicking sound.
Yeah.
It sounds like it's that, and like a muscle is making the clicking sound. And it's doing it so rapidly that it sounds like a buzz.
Yeah.
And the abdomen itself acts as a resonating chamber, amplifying the sound. Like kind of like the body of a guitar. A hollow body of a guitar amplifies the strings. This bug's body is designed to amplify the buzz. So
amplify
how loud
the
is
buzz.
It?
Amplify your buzz. There's a catchphrase.
Yeah, for like a IPA. Although you don't really see advertising like that anymore.
That's too that's way too extreme for an IPA.
No, they would just be like, you look cool while you have it and do it responsibly. precise measurements of how loud this thing, this particular species is, are hard to find, but the Australian cicadas are among the loudest insects in the world. Some species exceed 100 decibels at close range, which is like comparable to a chainsaw or a motorcycle or a sporting event. Super loud. The sand grinder isn't cited as Australia's absolute loudest, but it's the fact that it's continuous makes it extremely noticeable if you're near it. So why do they have to be this loud? So why do they make this call? Obviously, it's attracting females. It's done by the males exclusively, so the females are listening for the males, and may move toward the most attractive buzzing sound. And a louder, more persistent call can advertise a healthy male. If I can be super loud, and if I can never stop, obviously I'm healthy, I'm in shape, I can make a buzz. It's a buzz about town. It's sort of like the cafeteria effect. When you were a kid in the cafeteria and your teachers told you, everybody use an inside voice, just kind of relax in here, okay? Just eat lunch. And then it gets louder and louder and louder and louder because all the kids are trying to talk and everyone's trying to talk over each other. So one person gets loud, so you have to get louder to be heard. So if they're competing... The cafeteria
becomes a wall of noise.
Yeah, exactly. So competing with other rivals in a particular area, volume helps an individual stand out, but everyone's trying to do that. So it gets louder and louder and louder for generations and generations and generations. So it's an arms race for volume.
The louder you are, the more likely you are to have offspring, and your offspring are likely to be loud too.
Also, here's another thing. Predator dilution. If everyone's loud, one insect calling really loudly, we're going to find it. But hundreds calling at once is a wall of sound that can make it difficult for predators to pinpoint any single cicada. I guess the female cicadas are better adapted at locating the ones she likes.
I know, yeah. Well, it's like, wouldn't that also work against what they're trying to... They're trying to be found, but not be found.
Exactly. So you have to, like, download the cicada patch to be able to tune into it. Tune into the frequency.
Did you update your drivers, Mr. Bird? No? Well, then you're not going to have any idea where these cicadas are.
But if for humans and for, I assume, other mammals and stuff like that, there's a strange paradox where a really loud cicada sound is hard to locate. You could be standing next to a tree with a cicada on it, you can hear the buzzing, and it sounds like it's coming from every direction, because the loud high frequency cicada call is reflecting off trees and shrubs and rocks and the ground, and the sound is just bouncing off of everything and hitting your eardrums from everywhere. So it's like...
They're throwing their voice.
So I don't know if you've ever experienced this with a cicada, but if you are standing near a tree with a cicada in it, you're hearing a loud motorcycle level sound, but it's really difficult to find the thing that's making that sound. So it's kind of an interesting, like, paradox of sound, and it's intended for you not to be able to hear it.
Not to be able to hear it, but not to find
it. Not to be able to find it, yeah. But unless you're a lady cicada.
Yeah, it's interesting. We've talked about the coqui, which is a little frog, lives in Puerto Rico. that has a little chirping sound. And I remember as a kid, like, okay, this plant has one of these. I hear it clear as day coming out of this plant. And for the life of me, I cannot find it. And it's because there were a bunch of them, and I don't know, it was throwing its voice or just making it sound like it was coming from a different direction. But I remember thinking, like, wow, I'm terrible at this. I'd be the worst lizard.
But it's probably lizard. It's probably the same thing. Where they're trying to attract who they're trying to attract and nobody else. So you've got to be like adapted and attuned to finding it. Which is just crazy to me. How is it impossible for me to find it? But like a bug brain can tune into it, no problem.
There are a lot of things that bugs can do that we can't do despite how...
That's fair enough.
Our clear intellectual superiority.
I can't even fly. But I'm so smart. I'm way smarter than a ladybug.
Yeah, can you see like 400 different images of the same thing using the same eye? No.
What an
With
idiot.
Your compound eyes?
I'm as dumb as a bug.
Dumber.
Even dumber. But that's all I got.
All right. Well, thank you, Rowan. That mm-hmm. was the sand grinder cicada. I can't believe it. It's like, I like, it's clicking the top of a Snapple lid 100 times a second. And it just turns into a wall of industrial noise.
Yeah.
Yeah. Like, all right. Interesting. It's a sand grinder. So it's aptly named. I don't know what a sand grinder is. If that's a tool, maybe we should ask Tim the Tool Man Taylor. I know there's like a sander
mm-hmm.
and like an angle grinder or something like that. But is there a sand grinder?
What are those things called where is that just an angle grinder where you like, it looks like an angle grind, like a thing that spins.
It's an orbital sander.
Yeah. Yeah. Orbital. Maybe some places they call it a sand grinder.
At what point is it sanding? And at what point does sanding become grinding?
Good
I
question.
Think you grind metal.
That's deep, bro.
You sand everything else. That's deep. Now we're getting into genres of
abrasive tool use.
abrasive tool use. And you know how much I love genres.
Mm-hmm.
All right, so that's the sand grinder cicada. For you out there in Podcastia, aerate your local patch of sand, sip some delicious plant fluids, and drum it out on the dunes like the sand grinder cicada here in life, death, and taxonomy.
Hey, Taxonomy Titans. I just want to remind you that we have a Patreon that you can find by going to ldtaxonomy.com/donate. All of our episodes are uploaded there. Sign up for free to engage with us, leave episode suggestions, or chat with other animal enthusiasts. If you find it in your heart to donate, it will help us cover some costs and continue to make the show. Plus, we'll thank you every week. Most importantly, thank you all for listening.
My favorite in the world podcast.
Play that industrial metal.
Yeah.
Like what do they call it? That's what they call the Doom 2016 music is industrial metal.